So if any of you are keeping count of the times that we read from the Bible, and believe me, some of you are, because you tell me, then you will know that the book we read most from when I choose is Isaiah. Not least because if there was an American Idol version of Hebrew prophets, Isaiah would win hands down for the way he comforted the afflicted and afflicted the comfortable with his rattle your tent posts and quake in your desert sandals kind of preaching. You know, I'm thinking good thing that his title of prophet, imagine the business card, did not require him to run for office every 2 or 4 years or get past the now toothless Senate filibuster to land his job. Because if he had, we never would have had someone willing to tell us like it is without even a slice of Thanksgiving pumpkin pie to help his words go down. History tells us that Isaiah erupted in those words that we heard after watching his people try to prove their spirituality by fasting from food. A practice that at the time had become somewhat of a showy kind of competition among folks. How long you been fasting? Only 3 days? Lightweight. I've got 5 days. God loves me more. And even though this was more than 3,000 years ago, and we often think that those people have nothing to do with us, right? They're nothing like me. I wonder if I'm the only one who thinks that this game of pride does not sound all that different from something we might see the Kardashians trying to do. Or if we're on to something that we catch ourselves trying to do when our ego gets a little weak in the knees and we need to show off in order to feel better about ourselves. This is why the Hebrew Bible also says, there is nothing new under the sun. So in the passage that we just heard, Isaiah, you know, he's getting really annoyed. He's watching all the reality shows of those people fasting and acting as if they were holy hipsters in the ancient Hebrew equivalent of skinny jeans and chunky glasses and tattoos that sleeve all the way up the arm. I'm going to be cool one day because I don't have any. I will be. And one day, Isaiah is walking around all these folks in the ancient Hebrew equivalent of Davis Square or Coolidge Corner, and he just gets fed up. And he pushes his way past all the people up to the rock, which is the pulpit on the corner, and he proclaims, "Now hold on a second, people. Listen to me, all you fancy desert dwellers. Is this not the fast that we choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? Is this not a better fast," he says, "to share your bread with people who are hungry and to bring the homeless into your house, even if you don't have a big enough table? And when you see them naked, to clothe them and to cover them, to not hide yourself, my friends, from your own family, even Aunt Edna and Uncle Mark, who are sure to provoke you this Thursday into conversations about politics. Is this not the real fast that is required of us?" asks Isaiah. "Is this not what real holiness is?" he says on the rock, the pulpit on Coolidge Corner. You know, I'm thinking, where are the Isaiahs now? We need more Isaiahs. Okay, so fasting is on my mind. Isaiah is on my mind. And even though I should be home writing my sermon for us because it is Friday, I find myself instead in the parking lot of Shaw's in Medway. And in my left hand is my large Starbucks cup full of procrastination. Do you drink from that cup very often? What would Isaiah say about this cup? $2.40, what would he say? And in my right hand, you can't see it from here, is my grandmother's recipe, handwritten recipe that she sent before she died for her sweet potato apple casserole. The word casserole is there because my people come from the Midwest, where anything with more than one ingredient is by definition a casserole. Any Midwesterners here? Am I right? That's right. It's funny, we all go sitting together today, actually. That's what happens when a minority community, they stick together. Earlier that morning on Friday, a lawyer from St. Louis, her name is Linda, had sent me by email signed copies of the will my parents recently completed. And they named me there as the executor. I had expected it intellectually. I had expected it logistically, because the night before my mom called and said, expect an email tomorrow. You know, but what I hadn't expected was the emotion. Right? There's something about seeing papers and reading them that talk about your parents no longer being with you in life. It kind of cuts down through the layers of you, right down into the center of your soul. And I think mostly this is because of the loss that we imagine. But I also think it's because it means that you and your generation move up. You're next in line, which is scary, and it's depressing, and it's clarifying, and it's startling. Because most of the time, we seem to act as though we think we will live forever. So many days slip by without our full presence, as if we thought our time on earth were eternal, as if we thought we could afford to be so cavalier. You know, I'm thinking that thank you for this day just might be prayer enough. Might just be the only prayer you need to say on Thursday. And so partly because I'm feeling emotional, and partly because one of the fasts that I'm trying to choose this fall is to not let the yawn of the geographical distance between me and my family determine emotional distance as well, I am now walking into the store with my grandmother's recipe in hand so I can get the ingredients in time for Thanksgiving. Because nothing bridges time and distance better than the taste of home. Am I right? So I'm walking towards the entryway and I hear on the outside speakers, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Really? Already? You know, this headlong rush, really, from one season to the next, this fast that we choose, fast as in speed, fast as in an accelerated life, as in celebrating the next holiday, even before we celebrated the one that's right in front of us, is, I'm thinking, part of the reason that you and I have such a hard time being in the now. And as if to prove my point, I'm walking up the entryway, and I see on a pallet out front bags of rock salt for the snow that is yet to fall, above which are hanging wreaths that are filled with red ornaments for the Christmas that is still weeks away. Just watch, my cynical self says, on December 26th, out will come the Valentines. And by January, there will be bags of mulch out front for spring. And I see the manager stroll by and I'm so tempted to say, you know, you don't have, Isaiah, remember the pointing finger? You don't have a calendar problem. You have a spiritual problem. I'm longing to say this. This is why shopping with me on sermon writing days is such a drag. Such a drag. And I walk into the entryway, and on my left is the newsstand. And because it is Friday, November 22nd, exactly 50 years to the day that JFK was killed in Dallas, I see that on the front page of the Globe that it is transformed from color into a black and white reprint of the Globe's front page 50 years ago. Did any of you see that? Extraordinary. Is this what it was like to live in the black and white days, says our daughter? Yes, I say. And the dark on that day was very dark, followed years later, only a couple, by Medgar Evers and the brother Bobby and MLK and Malcolm and Vietnam. How did free love come out of this decade? But maybe the violence actually explains exactly how. So in the upper right-hand corner of that paper, if you looked at it, it says that the weather in Boston that day was to be, in 1962, was expected to be 70 degrees. Climate change even then. And in the left-hand corner is the quote that I would hear time and again in my youth, even though he died 9 years before I was born. Ask not, you want to finish it for me, what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Which sparks in me another fast that I long to choose here in November, in this age of the iPhone and the iPad and the iChurch and the iSpirit and the iCulture, which is the fast from self-reference. It's the fast from measuring your worth by how many people follow you on Twitter and how many friends you have on Facebook. It's the fast from thinking that me is the most important word in the dictionary. And so a message to all of you who are new, who are going to join our church in December, and all the longtime members here who I hope renew your vows to this place every time that we welcome new people, every time we do that practice that to my Catholic ears is the most important sacrament, the most sacred thing that we do as a community. And the message to you is this: ask not what your religious community can do for you. Ask what you can do for your religious community. Because ours, as you've heard me say maybe in Roots class, ours is it's a horizontal faith, okay? It's not a vertical faith, meaning that we all agree that there's something up there. We don't. Ours is a horizontal faith. And what we do for each other is how we practice being religious people. So, Grandma, 6 cups of apples. So off to the produce section I go. And I go to the apples. Sorry, Grandma, they're kind of looking tired. And next, there's sugar. There's the brown sugar. And since I forgot all the stuff this morning, there's the granulated sugar that my wife stole off the pantry. And next, because I'm reading this recipe in sequence and not by aisle. That ever happened to you? Grandma says we need 1 large can of sweet potatoes. Canned, Grandma? Come on. But then I remember that it wasn't until after she died that we all learned the bad initials of BPA that lined all those cans that she fed us with for years. It's why I am the way I am. So back to the produce aisle I go. This is like, you know, doing laps now at this point. Because when I can afford it, the fast that I choose is the choice of fresh. And I pick up two of the biggest sweet potatoes I can find. You hear the heft? Yeah. Two for a buck. And the woman next to me who's sorting says, "What's the difference, sir, between a yam and a sweet potato?" And I tell her, "Ma'am, I am sorry. The fast I choose does not help me answer such complicated questions." One of you will tell me, I'm sure, on the way out. Next, Grandma, she says that you and I need nutmeg. And on the bottle, I'm reading that the spice is one that comes from Grenada, a Caribbean island that I lived on for 2 years of my Peace Corps days. Thank you, JFK. That was fought over by the English and the French, that island, for the spice. It's right here. Africans brought there across the ocean by the slave owners so that people in America and in Western Europe who looked like me could put this spice in my mouth and rum and sugar into my mouth. The sweetness masking for them somehow the bitterness of human tears that it took to make this. Which, of course, will remind us, as Robin said, of another anniversary marked this week, in a week that was extraordinary for the anniversaries that we marked. The 150th year since Lincoln stood up in Gettysburg after Edward Everett had talked for 2 hours with no microphone. And in 10 sentences, Abraham was able to summarize his view of the Civil War and slavery. In 10 sentences. And he said, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. It was conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And we might add, Mr. President, all these years later, women too. And gays and lesbians and bi and transgendered people, and all the people everywhere who do not look like and love alike. Another fast that I choose, and I want you to choose with me, is the fast of remembering these people, these women and men, who came before us and helped us to arrive here in this room, safe and warm, with much work still to do, but having come so far. Okay, Grandma, what is the last item on our list? Can you guess, Midwesterners? Can you guess? Ah, that's a great guess. They said marshmallows, because marshmallows in the Midwest are in everything. My grandmother, she was a spare woman. She chose her ingredients carefully. And what our apples and our sugar and our sweet potato and our nutmeg need is a little crunch. So why not? Let's make room. And the problem with this ingredient, of course, is that you cannot buy a small box, which means that we will use, what does she ask for? I think she asked for 1/4 of a cup on the top. And this will be in my house until I don't even know when, because they last, unfortunately, forever. says my grandmother to all of you who are doubting, because I saw your faces kind of go, like that face, you know, that cornflakes. Do not knock the cornflakes until you've tried the cornflakes on top of your apple and your sweet potato. Another fast I choose, the fast of not knocking things that I don't know very much about, be it tastes or people or politics or ideas or religion. So we're all done now, and all that's left is the checkout lane to buy all this stuff. Good grief, the lines. Don't these folks know that my expensive cup of procrastination has been consumed now, and that I have a sermon to write? Don't these folks know that? And what is that woman doing in the front of the line now? Why is she rooting in her purse? Can't she find her credit card? It's not that hard. You just put your stuff on the counter. You put the divider down that keeps yours and mine clearly delineated. Because heaven forbid her drumsticks should cross into my sweet potato and apple casserole. Really, seriously, what is she doing? And I hear her say to the clerk, "I'm sorry. Found it at the bottom. There should be enough on the card." And the clerk nods as a woman my age, post-Kennedy, hands him the card. And the letter is, "Sir, S-N-A-P." The letters that mean Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The program that feeds 47 million Americans, all equal, says Lincoln. And then on November 1st was cut back to its original amount before the recession, leaving impossible choices, I think, for people like this woman in line. Because if you're in line and you've done laps around the store, you've chosen carefully, not buying extras. I mean, what do you put back if you don't have enough on the card? What do you choose? What is the fast that you choose? Well, who's the impatient jerk now? Your minister is. But I know that you can't be too disappointed in me, because it's nothing that not any one of us has felt in line. Impatient this season, blind to the people around us, the lines between yours and mine, as clear as that little plastic divider. The lines between me and you, as bright and as clear as our suburban lives can allow, which, you know, has the simultaneous effect, it's extraordinary, these communities we live in, of how they give us the privacy that we say we want, and they also impoverish us from the sense of human community that we say we need. And so here's the final fast that I'm trying to choose. It's the fast from keeping my eyes down in my basket, the fast from not noticing people, the fast from impatience, and the fast from quick judgments, and the fast from not forgiving myself when I have not measured up. Because you and I can beat ourselves up like nobody's business. And I go outside past the rock salt and the Christmas trees and the jingle bells, and the sky, if you remember on Friday, was gray and low, a November kind of day. And the woman from line is pushing her cart across the wet pavement, heading off into her life as I head off into mine. In the cart are my bags of food, which are the bags of memories of my grandmother. And the bags have rocketed me across distance and time to the family that I did not get to choose, but who love me, and I them anyway, without condition. And that is enough. That is truly enough. And so getting in my car and driving away, I say this to myself, the fast that I choose, and I want you to choose with me, is that we will attend to the days of our life. In these aisles of life that are always, they're always so pregnant, so filled with potential to learn and to grow and to remember and to feel and to discover and to disappoint and to forgive and to give thanks. And so my only Isaiah wish for you is that you will leave here today and head out across the parking lot into your life asking yourself this question: what is my fast going to be? What is the fast that you will choose? Say with me, my friends, amen.